So what about the future? We've talked about this several times today. What are the possibilities? Well, we should perhaps define the correct mastectomy rate, or might more likely perhaps define an appropriate range. So probably not right to have a variation between 0 and 100% in things, and somebody touched upon this earlier. Or you could say, should patients only have a mastectomy if breast conservation is contraindicated, which clearly some of the individuals in this study feel is the case. The question is, would you say, what would happen, what would people choose if you said, well, we know that people who have wide local excision have a roughly, certainly an increased rate of local recurrence, maybe roughly double. If you look at the most recent overview data published in the Lancet 2005, 1 in 4 of those local recurrence can become life-threatening. If you put the data that way, not very many people would go for wide local excision, would they? Or if you say to someone with DCIS, if you have a mastectomy, you have a less than 1% chance of recurrence. If you have conservation therapy, you may have up to a 5 or 10% chance of recurrence, and half of that will be invasive disease. Not many patients with DCIS will opt for wide local excision. So I think it's difficult if you're going to start to lay down rules or targets. On the other hand, if we feel that choice is of paramount importance, then perhaps we need to have improved awareness and identifying what sort of patient we've got in front of us. If we've got a patient who simply doesn't want choice because they're a passive decision maker, and they might be a low information seeker as well, although the two things are not necessarily linked together, then that perhaps isn't the right approach for that patient. If we are going to do this kind of approach where we find out more about the decision-making preference of our patients, we're going to perhaps need to change our communication skills. And we may also need more independent methods to empower patient decision-making. Somebody talked about the PROTEC study this morning. In PROTEC, you would go and agree to give a blood sample for a PSA test, and you're effectively giving consent at that point to be randomised to either watchful waiting, radical prostatectomy, or radiotherapy. Now, I think that's a pretty staggering randomisation, but people do it. But they don't meet a surgeon until they've got randomised into the surgery group. The surgeons are not the people talking to them about the choices of treatment. And then finally, and this has also been touched on several times, if you throw a couple of other complicated treatment strategies into the loop, like neoadjuvant chemotherapy or oncoplastic surgery approaches, what's this going to look like for patients? It's not just two choices now, it's 4 or 5 choices. And it gets even more difficult. And I was interested in the neoadjuvant chemotherapy that Emil said it was a no-brainer, because there's no survival difference between when you have your chemotherapy before or after your operation. So why wouldn't patients be able to choose? I just didn't understand that. And at that